First lesson from this morning is from Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Second reading from the second chapter of Colossians. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God. Beyond the self-confidence. I'm going to start by telling a story which is actually quite similar to answering a call to ministry. Now, next week we celebrate my 10th anniversary of ordination. I've been pastor here for almost 14 years. And I came out of the broadcasting and public relations field. So I was used to talking with cameras in my face and lights on, sometimes in crisis mode, where I didn't have anything really good to say. And I was used to talking in front of thousands of people at meetings where some of them were very angry. And I was used to broadcasting to thousands of people on radio stations and trying to think quick on my feet during crises. And nothing prepared me for sharing the Word of God with a gathered group. And I remember the first time I ever gave a sermon. I was in seminary still, and it was at a church way out in Riga. I'm in West Bloomfield, and I say way out in Riga. The Hicks, and the Sticks there. And I remember preparing my sermon, and re-preparing my sermon, and re-preparing my sermon, and re-preparing my sermon, and standing up and giving a pretty good sermon, not a great sermon. And afterward, the feeling. Now, before I gave the sermon, right as I stood up and walked forward, I felt dread because I just wasn't absolutely sure that what I was about to say was what God wanted people to hear. And after my sermon, after people left and a few of them said, "That was a good job. Thank you for being here," I was surprised by the feeling I had too. Where normally, after a good performance, you feel, "Yeah, all right, I rock." There was none of that. There was a feeling more of not emptiness, but emptiness. Not a blah sort of emptiness, but an emptiness like I had shared everything I had to share and there was nothing else to share that day. I had done my job and just walk out the door. And it's been kind of that way ever since. It's different when what you're sharing is not something from inside yourself, but something that comes from somewhere else. And I've talked to musicians like Mike before, and I know he's had the experience of that, and I'm sure Cheryl and AJ have too, of when you're playing without even using your mind. It just flows. And you're in this zone where whatever you share is not just from you, but comes from somewhere else, some greater power. I read a story the other day, a story told by the pianist George Shearing. George Shearing was a brilliant, brilliant pianist, and he was blind. And he was standing on a street corner one day, waiting to cross the road, when there was a tap on his shoulder. He'd been waiting there some time, and there was a tap on his shoulder, and he heard a voice say, "Forgive me, I'm blind, will you help me across the street?" And so George Shearing took the guy's arm, and together they went across the street. And that is preaching the gospel. George Shearing said about this, he said, "I know it was crazy, but it was the most exhilarating experience of my life." And that is what preaching the gospel is like. It's standing there on the street corner thinking, how the heck am I going to convey this? How the heck am I going to find God's word in this? How am I going to share with people? The glory and the amazing energy and the impossibility of the miracles and the greatness of this faith. And as you're standing there, someone taps you on the shoulder and says, "Excuse me, can you explain this to me?" And as I've told people before they read up here, when you're reading the Bible and you come to something you don't know how to pronounce, just pronounce it with confidence, and no one will know the difference. Now, you don't do that when you're preaching the word. You don't just pronounce with confidence. But you try to share with integrity. And it's risky business. Ask anyone who's preached. It's a risky business. Beyond the self-confidence is what it takes. And we see some of that in our readings today. Confidence that comes from somewhere other than what you can do on your own. For instance, when Paul writes that we are held together by ligaments and sinews and grow with a growth that is from God. That is speaking of confidence to do that which you cannot do on your own. And when the psalmist writes, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me. You stretch out your hand. Your steadfast love endures forever." And that is the power that makes it possible to preach the gospel and makes it possible to live the gospel in your own life. That is what is generated within us, which makes us so attractive to others. You've met people, haven't you, who just shine somehow? They've just got something about them that is so attracting and so inspiring. Do you think it's the Wheaties they ate that morning? No. It comes from God. And the world cries out for examples of this. The world cries out for hope of this. And one of the big struggles I have as a pastor is anytime I stand up to preach about a topic like this, I know so many of your stories, and I know that you could preach the sermon I'm preaching better than I ever could. And that's why we encourage you to do that in your lives. Share those amazing stories. For that person who is on their last legs, that person who just can't do it themselves anymore but does not have the faith to keep going, Your story could be the power they need. Your story could be the inspiration that carries them forward. And if you just sit on that story, underconfident in yourself, thinking that you can't possibly make a difference or inspire, well, the world will never change. But if you share a story of a time when God was with you, when all hope was lost, that story itself has power, and that testimony itself can cause events to change, can cause matters to improve, can help people to open their eyes and see the blessing around them and find their way around, over, or through an obstacle. And I must confess that without mentioning names, there are times when I share your stories with other people not affiliated with this church, when I need to talk to someone who is grieving, I can share some of the words I've heard some of you speak incredibly profoundly and not even recognizing how profound you are when you have been going through grief. When I am dealing with people who have struggled in their relationships, I can say, I know a couple that came back from this sort of damage and is still together. People who have lost their jobs, I can tell them of others who have lost their jobs and have gone a long time before they could find employment again, but did not give up hope. People who are angry. I can share stories of you and your anger and how you turned your anger and stepped away from it and how everything turned out better, or how you didn't turn from your anger and the horrible results that came about. Like I said, I don't violate confidences, but sometimes I share your stories. But you know, it's not nearly as good when I talk about how God has spoken through people's lives and worked through people's lives. It's not nearly as good as when you yourself talk about a time when it's happened. And one of my favorite stories of a time that it's happened with me, I've shared it before. There's some new faces here, so the rest of you fall asleep, wake up when it's over. It was when we first started seminary. And I say we because it was a team effort, my wife and I. And we had just one little baby who just got back from a college trip. We had one little girl who was on baby food. And I had left my job to study full time. And I was working as a freelancer. And there wasn't any money coming in. And that morning, we used the last jar of baby food. And we had no money. No money at all. And I went to school for the day. And Teresa prayed, "Dear God, help us." And she was interrupted in her prayer by a knock on our door. It was a woman who had moved into an apartment that we used to rent across the city. And she showed up at our door right at that time with a big bag full of baby food. And she said, "My son has outgrown this now, and you popped into my head." God is so good. God is so good. And so, I cannot preach this sermon about having confidence beyond ourselves nearly as well as you can. And so, is there anyone here right now, honestly, who can help by preaching the sermon of an experience that happened to them that showed how good God was? I'm going to get another microphone. Ms. Nancy, preach it.
Well, this was some years ago, and Corey, I think you might remember this. My husband, Bill, had a blockage going to the heart. and I was in the choir singing, and when we got done with practice, I said, Corey, can we please pray for Bill? Because tomorrow he's going to go to the hospital to see if he needs a bypass. So the choir, we all got in a circle, held hands, and Corey said a prayer for Bill. And the next day we went to the hospital, and he went through the test where they go through the groin and up into the heart, you know, to find the blockage. And when they brought him back to his bed, I said, what did the doctor say? He said, the doctor said I can go home because my body did its own bypass. That's true. That's true. Very true.
And it did its own natural bypass.
Yep.
Praise God. That is wonderful. That's God working in a body, literally. And Bill, we know where you are. God bless you.
And he's still with
me. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Anyone else? Amanda. Excuse me, Joel.
It's kind of like your baby food story. It was my first Christmas on my own with the girls, and I had bought presents for them, put them on layaway, and it was the last day I could pick them up, and I had no money. And on my way to the store, I thought I'd just go and figure something out. I decided to go to the mailbox, and like maybe there'll be some magical money in the mailbox. And I went, and somebody had sent me some donations of $200 in Visa gift cards to help with Christmas presents for the girls.
That's fantastic. Someone let God work through them and into your life. Okay, we'll go to Bonnie and then over to Stacy.
Well, some of you have already heard this story. Our older daughter and son-in-law had a stillborn baby back in 2000, May. And Corey was there. We had a birthday party for her a year later. And it was a horrible, rainy, miserable day. And Susie decided at the end of the party we'd go out and release balloons. You wouldn't believe it. We went out, we're all holding our balloons. The sun comes out, and there's this enormous rainbow, the biggest one I've ever seen. And it was at that point we knew Abby was okay, and God was with her.
Amen. That's a great story. It was a wonderful day. That was an amazing day. One of the best. Can you do it? Yeah, you're among friends.
Okay. I don't know why I'm scared, buddy. People may not know, but I was a very, very old first-time mom. What a baby I am.
You're not a baby. You're speaking of blessings. Those are godly tears.
And I also had just moved back to the area and really was very lonely. I also happened to like garage sales as well, as some people may know, and I was at a garage sale. And a mom gave me a brochure from mom's group and said, gee, it's, you know, it is Christian-based. Do you go to church? And I kind of sheepishly or mumbled no, but she gave me the brochure anyway. It must have been the look on my face of desperation of knowing that I needed other moms. So I joined MOPS. If any of you are new moms and are not aware of the organization, it's wonderful. But I went to my very first meeting on September 11th, 2001, believe it or not.
Wow.
And the experience absolutely changed life. And so I call myself one of Lori's. She was the lady who gave me the brochure. I call her my garage. I was her garage sale find. But I truly, truly believe it was God knew. He knew what I needed. So.
And just in the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time.
Funny how God works.
It is. So, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. Anyone else? Oh, AJ.
Grand entrance. Yeah. About 15 years ago or so, Paul and I were married, and we were in our house. It was late one evening, around 11 o'clock, and a knock came on our door. And we opened it up, and there was a young kid, probably, I would say, about 13 or 14. I don't really know how old he was. And he was crying. He was obviously upset. And he had a mark on his face. Paul is a police officer. And it ended up that he was one of our neighbors, and we were friendly with his parents, but not friends. And this young kid had an argument with his mom, and ultimately a log was picked up and thrown at his head. And so he ran to our house as a safe harbor. The police car probably really kind of helped along with that. And so we talked to him, and we comforted him, and we called the police department. And the next day I was coming to church, and we were doing a collection for, I can't remember, some mission, something or other, that helped, and some of the funds stayed in New York State, and they helped in local agencies. And I remember that I had my great mission collection speech all figured out, but I knew that I needed to talk about that young boy and what was going on with him and how our gifts could help to help someone like him. So years go on, and I knew that he moved out of the area, and that was all. His father lived down in the South. Fast forward 15 years or so, about 6 months ago, Jake and I were driving up to church one day, and it was a rainy, drizzly day, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and there is a young man hitchhiking. And I don't pick up hitchhikers. It's just not safe. My mother will tell you that. But something about the situation. So I said, Jake, we're going to pull over. I scooched Jake over, and he's in the front seat of the truck with me, and we pick up this young man. Chit-chatting, no big deal. I took him to his destination. He said, well, you can drop me off here. But I said no, and I drove him an extra mile up the road. On our way home from church, we had, you know, fiddly farted around, and we were a bit later, and we drove home. There's that young man again. We picked him up again and dropped him off at a house very close to ours. The following Sunday, I'm by myself driving up to church. There he is again. I pick him up. We start talking, and it ends up being that young boy from 15 years ago. And when we finally figured out who we were, he said, oh my God. He said, you saved my life that night. And he said, do you know what you said to me? I thought, no, I had no idea what we, you know, I just knew that we tried to be comforting. And he said, you told me that under no circumstances is it okay to be treated that way by anyone. And when you feel that you have no love in your life, remember that God loves you. Frankly, I couldn't believe that I had said something like that. but apparently I did. And he said that evening he got help from social services in the county, and he found a way to go live down south with his father, where he knew that his life could be different than what he had in New York State. And now he's a fine young man, successful, happy, and touched by the love of God.
Thank you, AJ. Thank you. A wonderful story. Would anyone else like to share? We get the idea, right? The idea is this. I am not the only preacher in this church. I am one of many. We all need to preach the gospel out there in the world. It's something beyond self-confidence. You might lack the confidence in yourself to share these stories, these profound moments, you know. But it's not about confidence in yourself. It's about confidence in the God that wrote that story for you. It's about confidence in the God that is looking out for you in your life and wants you to use those moments to help others in need. It is beyond the self, confidence, that we're talking about here. To To share the good news is as simple as sharing a word in season, as going and finding a place where there is help, and then learning how to be a help to someone else. It is about sharing the inspiring story of a time when you were in need and your need was filled. And it's about being that person who helps to fill the need as well. In all of our talk of love and of angels, it should not be lost on us that we are angels. The word angel in the Greek means simply messenger. Now, I can be messenger boy, you can be messenger boy, messenger girls, but before you can be that, you have to have confidence that the story God has given you, God will help you share with other people. Beyond the self, confidence. Confidence in God. For and be that love. Be that source of hope. Be that source of love and caring for others. If you can't be inspiring, God can be inspiring through you. Amen.